Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make about that?
Well, this has to tie in with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way the children are raised and the environment that they live in,
mm-hmm.
that I'm in a recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all born with potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to get, you have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Toughway. Toughway means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Thank you so much for joining the show today. I am so looking forward to our discussion today, which will be on the topic of what you see is what you get. And my co-host, Mrs. Sandra Bouton, is joining us as well. And I'd like to give a round of applause, if you don't mind, to my special co-host, Ms. Bouton. Sandra, how are you doing today?
Good afternoon, Shirley. I am blessed and highly favored, and thank you so much for that beautiful, warm welcome. I would like to thank you. Thank you so very, very much. It is my honor.
Thank you. You are indeed blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I'm so glad you can join us today. I'm going to have to change the opening song to add you to the credits.
Thank you.
Because you are indeed a credit to the broadcast.
Thank you so much.
As a lot of you know, yesterday was an unfortunate event in our history, and the only reason why I'm bringing it up is because my foster daughter asked me about it when she came home from school. And as you know, yesterday was September 11th, and the world celebrated or recognized that event that occurred almost 8 years ago. Yesterday actually did make it 8 years ago. So apparently they discussed it in her class, and she was only about 1 year old when the incident occurred. And, yeah, so yesterday was a day of mourning for America.
Indeed.
And I remember where I was at that time. Where were you at 8 years ago on September 11th?
My word.
That infamous day in American history.
As for myself, I really cannot at this time recall where I was. I recall seeing it on television, so I might have been in my living room at that particular
mm-hmm.
time. And
as well as a couple of 100 million other people glued to the television set.
Indeed, indeed. My first thought might have been, is this a movie? Not realizing that it had actually happened, because I believe my thought thinks that I was not looking at the television. You know, you're moving about sometimes in your home and the television is on, and I may have had the mute on. So not knowing that it was actually happening in the United States, my first thought may have been that it was a movie of some sort. It was unreal to me that it could have been any place else at the time until I turned on the sound. And it was just so heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and you hit on a key word there, unreal. It was, you know, for us in this country to have to experience that kind of terrorism on our own soil, it was indeed unreal for a lot of people. I know for me, the incident stands out very profoundly because my daughter lives in New York City and she works in the area where the incident occurred. And as spirit would have it, her boss wanted her to come in early that day to help with a meeting. And the meeting was held in one of the Twin Towers that was attacked by an airplane. So she woke up that morning, spirit told her, we know what that something was,
indeed,
told her not to go to that meeting to be late for whatever reason. And it was only by, you know, the spirit's guidance and her being obedient and listening that she wasn't in that building when it was attacked by the second airplane, when she would have been in the second tower.
Oh, my.
And subsequently, some of her coworkers who were there were killed, when the plane attacked that building. So she was in that area, though, because she worked in that Wall Street area. She experienced it, a lot of what the people who survived that experienced.
My.
And it was a horrific event. And I was in California at the time. And so I couldn't get through. I couldn't call. You know, all the phones were down. You just could not call New York or anywhere on the East Coast at that time. So it was a horrific event and experience for a lot of people.
Oh, my. And that, you know, to have her listen to her higher self, you know, was testament to what we all should do. You know, sometimes we say we hear that little voice, and like you said, that was her guidance, her higher self speaking to her. That saved her from, you know, being either harmed or killed on that particular day.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping the listening audience, either if you're listening live, you're in the chat room, or you download the episodes through the archive later on, that you get out of all of these segments, and the whole purpose of redesigning in the spirit is so that we learn to tune into the spirit and be obedient to, as Sandra said, our highest self as it talks to us. You may recognize that as a little, still, small voice, but the more you listen and you obey that voice, the louder that voice becomes.
I agree. I agree totally. And if you have to practice so that you know that this is your higher self speaking, then take time. Take silent moments of meditation just so that you can hear it clearly. You don't have to, if you're afraid that that's not it, then just listen. Listen longer. Don't make a decision right then if you're uncertain. But normally, what comes along with that higher self, that sound voice that you hear, is a feeling that comes with it. And most of the time, it is unmistakable. And you will automatically do as requested by the higher self sometimes. Sometimes if you're in a situation that your house is busy, then sometimes you might sometimes mistake it for something else or not pay it as much attention as you should. But when it's there and it means for you to do this for your highest good, then sometimes you will automatically do things without even knowing why you've done it. And in her case, she was on point. She was there. She was at one with her higher self because she obeyed. She acquiesced it. She didn't say, "What? Maybe I should go." Anyway, she didn't second guess, and that saved her life.
Absolutely. And that's important because the spirit, the higher self, will always guide us in the right direction.
Correct.
It will never, never lead us astray.
I concur 100%.
So before we begin we deviated a little bit.
We did.
So before we begin this segment, let's recap some of the highlights from the last segment that we did with Rev Kev. I am still on fire from that segment.
It was amazing.
It was a life-transforming segment for me.
Oh, me as well.
And some of the things that he talked about, though, was it is important to give yourself permission to receive all, you know, that is all the good, I'm going to rephrase that, all the good that is trying to flow in your life through you and to express this, to express itself through us. And again, that goes back to what we were saying earlier, is listening to that higher self and listening to that small voice inside of us, because we're put on this earth for a reason. And spirit wants to express its goodness and its love through us. So we have to become yielded vessels and allow that spirit to transform our lives so that we can be an expression of the goodness that's in the universe.
I concur. And the only way you can do that is sometimes you really have to take some time for yourself and not deal so much with the outside world. You know, if it takes you meditating for even 15 minutes, it doesn't have to be because schedules are busy and everyone can't do an hour to 2 hours of meditation. But the key is to get in touch with your higher self. If you have not, then take 5 or 10 minutes and meditate. Quiet your mind. It might take time for you to really get into it and understand the principle of meditation to quiet your mind slowly enough and have those thoughts, those 400 billion units of information that's coming into your mind constantly. It may take time for you to quiet your mind, but it's possible. So take a moment or two. If it takes maybe a day, every day, to come in and have a minute to yourself after the house has gotten quiet, your children are in bed, and the thoughts of all the work miscreations you might have created in the day, just take a minute or 5 minutes and sit down and not gather your thoughts. Have no thoughts is what we want. Have no thought, and then you can allow yourself to be with your higher self. And, you know, in doing that a little at a time, you know, you begin to realize, well, I deserve to have the best of life, the highest good for myself as well as others. And as soon as you get into that space, then there becomes a shift in your consciousness. And you'll think more clearly sometimes about what you're doing in the course of that day. You'll take a minute on your own and say, well, I need a second to just relax here. And every little time that you do that, you get a chance to sort of reactivate those neurotransmitters in your mind to think something different instead of the mundane thoughts that come through every day. And it's phenomenal. It takes a minute for some, others it does not. As long as you attempt to take a moment to get in touch with yourself, you have conquered the world, so to speak. It's the starting, that the initiation of wanting and desiring to know who you are, so that later on you can fully accept all the good that comes to you, because some of us feel like we are undeserving. And I myself work through that myself. And just today, Shirley, after we spoke this morning, I realized to myself that even though I told myself I deserve all these beautiful things in life that life has waiting for me to have, that I had not totally told myself that I am success. In order to be success, you must believe that you're success. And I hadn't totally felt that I was the one to bring the success into perhaps my household, thinking that perhaps maybe my husband was to be successful, not me necessarily be successful. And I thought, why would I limit myself in such a manner? And I realized it's because of my thinking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You said a mouthful there, Sandra, and it's particularly the key is to meditate. It is so important for us to get quiet, to get in touch with our higher self. And I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge Louis Torres in the chat room. Thank you for stopping by in the spirit today, Mr. Torres. He doesn't pose a question. I guess he's just online listening to the segment today.
Go right ahead.
And I'd like to take a moment to give out the call-in number. If you'd like to call in with a question or join in the discussion live, the number to call is 646-716-5180. And then that brings me back to another point, key point that Rev Kev brought up in our discussion when he was talking about that song, Amazing Grace.
Yes.
He was saying that that was the song of a former slave owner. And we sing that song today, but that song was his song about himself. And that doesn't mean that that's the truth about us. Or it doesn't mean that's truth. That's your truth, that's my truth, or that's anyone's truth. That was his truth. He wrote that song about his own self and what he had gone through in his life dealing with slavery. So one of the things that came out of that is that we need to sing our own songs about ourselves, be our authentic self. What are we allowing to be our spiritual and mental diet is one of the questions that Rev Kent posed. And he said that we need to give ourselves permission to experience our highest and best for us, and that what we are seeking is always trying to find us.
That is correct. That's correct. And as I was thinking earlier today, we must be the rulers of our creations, not allowing the creations to rule us, because we're doing it every day. We're creating something every second with our thoughts, our deeds, our movements, everything. We are creating something all the time. So we must take control of our minds, not let it run rampant, and just pay attention. Pay attention to the thoughts that are in your mind. It's a very good game that I play for myself sometimes. I call it mind monitoring. I call it mind monitoring. And I would sit down and I would listen. Have you ever done that, Shirley?
All the time. All the time.
Fascinating.
Yes, indeed. And we have to be gatekeepers over our mind and monitor our thoughts and where the direction that our mind is heading. I also like to take a moment to recognize Winter Fire, who joined us in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us today on In the Spirit. Also, I want to wrap up some of the highlights that we talked about with Rev Kev, because I think this is kind of interesting. During our discussion, we actually talked about today's topic on the show at Rev Kev in August. During the discussion, a question was posed about the imagination being attributed to what you see being what you get, in which he responded that the imagination is the ability to see with your eyes closed. And I'd like to take a moment and play an excerpt from that portion of our conversation with Rev Kev on August 22nd.
How important is it to be imaginative? And is that the same as visualization? In other words, what you see is what you get?
Yes. Imagination is extremely important because it's a faculty that we all have, the ability to see beyond appearances. We have the ability to see with our eyes closed. That's another way of defining imagination, your ability to see with your eyes closed. Your imagination is what I like to put your nation of images, if you look at two words. It's your world of pictures, and your life becomes a reflection of the world of pictures that are impressed within you. So if you have images in your mind about you being a worm of the dust, well, then people will mistreat you because worms get stepped on. If you have within your imagination images of you being prosperous and healthy and whole and free, then you begin to express this imaging law in your world and in your there. Worry, when people worry, they are also exercising their imagination. They are seeing unfavorable outcomes. They are seeing unfavorable outcomes. And so the imaging law simply outpictures for them what they have held in mind. So if you worry a lot, you are using your imagination to draw into your experiences things you do not wish to experience. So that old statement, if you worry, why pray? If you pray, why worry? It's more than a cliche. It actually, you're actually using your faculty of imagination when you do this.
So what a person imagines in their mind, whether consciously or unconsciously, they will manifest that in their lives.
Yeah.
That's what they see for themselves.
I said to Abram, lift up now thine eyes and look from where you are, north and south and east and west, and all that you can see, I will give it to you. All that you can see, I will give to you. But I won't give you anything you can't see first. Why should I? Because you didn't have the courage to see it for yourself. But if you have the courage to see it, I'll give it to you. And that's really what the imaging law says. Visualization is a practice. It's taking that one step further to intentionally sit through a process of seeing specific things that you wish to be, do, and have. So visualization is getting intentional about it. It's getting focused about it. It's getting clear about the things that you wish to experience. Remember, the mind sees in pictures. If I said to you right now, don't see a red dot, it's impossible for your mind not to have formed a picture of a red dot. Right? Because the mind sees in pictures. And so every time we introduce a word into our consciousness, it's transformed as an image. So imagine all of the things that we are saying that are negative on a daily basis that are being recorded like film in our consciousness and then begins to play out in our experiences. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Absolutely. Shonda, did you want to add anything to that?
Now, that was a little bit interesting, huh, that we would be talking about the same thing that we're talking about today. It's like a continuum, huh?
It is indeed. It has almost slipped my mind that we covered that area. But he is absolutely right. Imagination, you cannot imagine without forming a picture.
Yes, yes. And what I thought was also interesting about what he said, the courage to see it for yourself.
Indeed.
Yeah, and it does take courage for us to see ourselves beyond where we are at any given moment, to see us where we want to be.
Indeed. And I found it fascinating that once he said to you, he wants you to see a red dot. No, he said, don't see a red dot. And as soon as he said that, my mind formed that red dot without any effort whatsoever.
Yes. and so to the listening audience, if you want to hear that whole broadcast, you can certainly go into the archives and download that. And again, the number to call into the show if you'd like to participate in the discussion is 646-716-5180. And that's our topic that we're going to be tackling today. What you see is what you get. And the acronyms for that is WYSIWYG, WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. And that used to be a computing term that was used a while ago to describe a system in which content displayed during editing, and it appears very, very similar to the final output.
Now that was kind of interesting when I discovered that, you know, the editing and the final output. So I guess the editing is what we see in our mind, and the final output, I would attribute it to what we see, the materialization of what's in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So before we see the materialization of what's in our mind, it has to be displayed in our mind first?
Perhaps that is correct. We are human computers to a degree. It's fascinating. It is fascinating that the mind has so many functions that we are unaware of.
Yes, yes. And materialization is a concept in parapsychology. It's the creation or appearance of a matter, get this, from an unknown source or sources.
Maya, would you repeat that, please?
Materialization is a concept in parapsychology. It is the creation or appearance of matter from unknown sources.
Oh, my. I love that. Yes, I see that perfectly. Fantastic.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we do. We create it in our mind, and we don't always know how it's going to materialize.
Indeed.
You know, so, yeah, you're taking something intangible, and it materializes intangibly. However, however,
I believe that we are magicians of our own lives. We create something fabulous with thought, imagination, and have it materialize right in front of us. It may not look exactly as the thought that you held in mind, but that may be because some other thoughts came through and did some deterioration of your original imagination. So then when it comes back to you, it may not appear exactly as you have imagined it, but seemingly you can recognize it as a thought held in the mind before.
Once it materializes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, The 12 Powers by Charles and Cora Fillmore, it talks a little bit, he has a little chapter in there on imagination. And one of the things that he says is that imagination is an attribute of God. It is the formative power of thought, the molding power of the mind. It is that which gives shape, tone, color to thinking. In truth, every word, every combination of words has in the back of it an image, a thought picture. And that's what Rev Kev said also, because he said the mind sees in pictures. And so here we have Charles Fillmore saying that every single word that we speak or combination of words has behind it an image, some type of picture. So when we say a word, our mind sees an image of that word.
Indeed. Oh, that is magnificently fascinating, isn't it?
Isn't it? And then he goes on to say that these images are a combination of shapes working in omnipresent substance to mold our lives. That's that unknown source, the matter created from the unknown source.
Oh, my. You know, having that sort of knowledge has to give our listeners a reason to pause and think, today I am going to pay attention to what my mind is producing, because with that in mind, myself, there is a thought pattern that says, listen to what you speak before. And in my imaginings, there has to be a correction for myself at times. You know, imagining and worrying and that sort of thing, like he was saying before, you want to produce something harmful because you're worrying.
Yes.
Because
yes.
of the fearful energy you're sending out there.
That's
so
right.
I have to myself think and imagine the highest good for myself and others, because that is what
Absolutely.
I want to bring back to me.
That's right. And it is so important that we watch those deep inner thoughts of our mind for that very reason, because of the images that are associated with those. The thoughts are words, too.
Indeed.
And that's what's molding our lives. So if a person has a life of lack, illness, that's what they're thinking and that's what they're speaking in their life, whether they realize it or not. I'm always sick and tired. Well, why are you always sick and tired? Because those are moving in your mind, and those are the words that are coming out of your mouth.
In
that book, it goes on to say that intelligent seeing is a form of imagination. We should always behold ourselves in a state of keen, intelligent knowing. And then it goes on to read that it is through divine imagination that the soul first gets the impulse to expand. In the silence, we learn to lift our vision above things as they commonly appear. And this helps to bring all the other faculties into captivity, in other words, confinement.
Yes.
Because even the Christian Bible talks about, in Hebrews, it says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the presence of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, as we know, as the universe, as the goodness of God, as whatever your higher good is. We have to bring our thoughts to align with the higher good that we want in our life. Instead of sickness and poverty, speak life, speak health, speak prosperity. Think thoughts of health and prosperity all the time. And when you find yourself, your mind wandering, as it will, and as you alluded to earlier, we have to practice. This takes practice. It's not anything that's going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen immediately. For some people, it may.
Really? Really?
And for others, it's a process that we have to go through, a process of learning and growing.
That's correct. Now, in all things in life that people have excelled in, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, the greats of the world, and Venus and Serena, they did not get where they are without practice. Here we are with all this brilliance within us, and we have not learned how to imagine things that we could have in our lives, in our desired state, the highest good for ourselves. We have not practiced using this phenomenal tool and blessing that we have between our ears. And had we been trained from the very beginning, like Tiger Woods at 6 years old, how to imagine, how to think properly, not just how to think properly, we would be truly the masters of our kingdom.
Well, I am so glad that it is never too late. And I'd like to thank guest number 1833 who's joining us in the chat room. Thank you so much for stopping by In the Spirit today. And, you know, again, it's never too late for us to begin where we are. And that's what is so wonderful about this life and being on this journey. We always have a chance to turn around, to change the direction that we're headed if it's not lining up with what we want, the good, the highest good for us, in other words.
Indeed, indeed. And it's not hard to do. It just takes you take the first step. And like you said, there's always time. There's always plenty of, I would call time an illusion. However, there's always plenty of that left. You can start at any point in your life and start imagining what you desire to have and not allowing your imagination to run off in all directions. Be focused on what you desire. If it's success you desire, then keep those highest thoughts about success. If it's your soulmate, then keep those thoughts high in your mind for the highest good for that person and yourself, and learn how to use that imagination. It is one of our most precious tools. And
absolutely.
And it's at our disposal right here from where we are. We don't have to go
out. And it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost us anything to tap into that fabulous resource that we have between our ears.
Indeed. Indeed.
You know, we were talking earlier about that movie, What in the Bleep?
What the Bleep
Do We Know? What the Bleep Do We Know? Oh, my goodness. It's just so phenomenal, the potential that we have. And we had also discussed Dr. Joe Dispenza and some of the things that he had said in the movie, but I was listening to some of his other broadcasts, as I mentioned earlier, and he's a medical doctor as well, and he gives some phenomenal accounts of patients who were dealing with fatal illnesses where another doctor would give them maybe 6 months to a year to live, and that was their wake-up moment. And one of the things that he asked them when they recovered from that death sentence was, what made the difference for you? And one of the things that they all had in common was the fact that they changed their attitude about their disease. Once they realized that they were focusing on their disease, they were stressed and worried about it, the disease progressed.
Exactly.
But once they became at peace and changed their attitude and start thinking healthy and seeing themselves as healthy beings, they made a full recovery.
Indeed. And I have had that experience in such a similar matter myself. And I can testify to say that is correct. It is your mind that is telling your body how to respond and your emotions and feelings about it. And I thought, from what he is saying, that is absolutely correct. It is so phenomenal. Once I changed my mind, because I was sitting there worrying about something that was told to me that could have been a possible fearful, life-threatening situation. And I just sit there, and when the news comes to you like that, you are in shock, and
mm-hmm.
you just get overwhelmed. And so when I went home, I said, oh, my goodness, this cannot be. It cannot be happening. First of all, my mind didn't accept it. You see, I said it cannot be. My mind already had rejected it without my knowledge. Then I said, how on earth could this happen? I just cannot believe it. This is not real. This can't be true. And I lay there for a moment, and the higher self spoke to me and told me as much, that this was not what this was, you know. And I felt at peace. There was a peace. The peace that passes understanding came to me. And it's nothing that you've ever felt in this world. It is serene. It is motionless. It is timeless. I felt it. When I went back, I didn't go immediately. It took me maybe 2 weeks before I went back. But in the process, I recorded that voice in my mind, and I kept the high vibration of the truth of which I was told, that there was nothing wrong. When I went back, the doctor was astonished to find that there was nothing wrong. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, because these tests had this, this, and this. But I don't know what happened. There's nothing here. You're perfectly fine. You
right.
talk about, a faith-building process.
I would imagine, indeed. Because some people, when they get that kind of news, they automatically see in their mind's eye themselves in that declining situation where they succumb to that illness or that disease. And subsequently, 6 months to a year, they're gone.
Indeed. And seemingly.
Because that was the focus. Yeah, that was the focus of their
focus.
Mind for that
that's
particular
right.
situation.
That's right. And that is, a lot of that has to do with, you know, how you maintain your thoughts, your imagination, in the process of living everyday life. Because when you get to that stage, it's seemingly so easy to go over into the horror zone. You know, everything. Oh, yes, this is happening because this. And so and so. And by the time you finish with your stories that you've created in your mind, the disease or anything that you have has taken root in your body and decided to expand.
Yes.
But with my news, thank God, unconsciously, I said, this cannot be. I stopped it before it could spread throughout my mind. And then the voice came into me, the higher self spoke to me and gave me a confirmation. But you have to hold on to that confirmation. Your mind will still want to wander. But you have to believe and have that faith of knowing that what you just felt and heard was the absolute truth, and not be drawn into that egotistical thought pattern that, oh my God, I could be dying. You know, there's no need for that, because you can control what's happening to you by the thoughts in your mind as well as everything else in your life.
Absolutely. And many of us have heard the phrase, what you think about, you bring about. I'd like to share something that I read in one of my favorite books, is The Science of the Mind.
Oh.
And by Ernest Holmes.
I have not read that. It's delicious, though.
It is indeed. And in chapter two, this is the title of this chapter, Mind, the Greatest Discovery.
I love
and
that.
And from that section, The First Great Discovery, it reads, the first great discovery man made was that he could think. This was a day when he first said, I am. This marked his first day of personal attainment. From that day, man became an individual and had to make all further progress himself. He had worked conscious union with life. Now, and we still have to progress and to co-create our lives.
I concur. And because, you know, we have not been seemingly trained to do this, then you have to take it upon yourself. If you don't have anyone around you that can guide you into this, you have to take control of your mind and your imagination and start today.
Right, and we have, you know, like you said, we weren't born into this, and we didn't grow up into this for the most, a lot of us for the most part haven't. Some of my background is growing up in Christian church environment, and I'm transforming and learning to think about religion in a whole different perspective, because I think, you know, it's too much is inside the box as far as I'm concerned with Christian religion, and God is just so much bigger than that, and he can't be contained in a box. And once we open up our mind and expand our mind and get in touch with the spirit and the laws of the universe, we'll see that. And so I want to learn and discover more. It's more to this religious to religion than what we've been taught in Christianity. And I'm on that journey to learn as much as I can about the science of the mind, about the universal laws that are operating in this world that we live in, and the part that I play in it. And it's my responsibility in that process to learn as much as I can, and then not only just learn it, but to apply it to my life every day. And part of that is to reach out and extend myself to and find other people who are of like mind to help me grow and develop in that process.
Indeed. And that's what we all have to do. We have to have like-minded people around us or have conversations with them to keep us at a higher vibration, because the collective unconscious is still in the muck and mire of the ordinary, that you cannot change your world by your thought patterns. They have not expressed their mindset to anyone except all those that believe the similar thought that they believe. We have to step outside the box. As you said, I choose to live outside the box. I may stick my toe inside, but I choose to live outside the box. That is my desire. That is my desire. That is where life truly begins.
Mm-hmm.
And if you
it's definitely a mind renewing process.
Indeed. Indeed.
Learning to think differently. And it goes against the grain of what society dictates. And I think we had talked about that earlier. You know, people think you're from another planet
indeed.
When you start talking about universal laws in operation in your life, because they're not used to hearing that kind of talk for the most part.
Indeed, and it's frightening to them because they are not willing to release themselves to express their creative expression, which is God. They are not willing to step outside because they've seemingly been brainwashed, and they just cannot understand that. They can't see that their imagination will not expand past what they have been told within their environment.
Absolutely. And one of the things that Ernest Holm continues to write in this particular chapter, he says that the principle of any science is invisible. Theoretical as is our idea of spirit, no one has seen God, no one has seen life. What we have seen is the manifestation of life. No one has seen intelligence. We experience it, though. No one has ever seen causation, yet we see what it does, and we deal with its effects.
Correct. That's right. The law of cause and effect is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And that can definitely be applied to the thoughts that we hold in our mind and the words that come out of our mouth. We will definitely see the effect, whether it's good or bad. It is a result of the things that we have thought and spoke over our lives. And I'm one who firmly believes, Sandra, that it's just not the words that we speak about ourselves, but when we gossip about other people, I believe that those words affect and impact that person's life as well.
Well, seemingly, from what I've studied, it's not so much their lives that has been affected. It is you, the one that is critiquing and judging. Because thusly, you are going to bring this back to you. And it goes back to judge not unless ye be judged. Because you're over there criticizing someone without truly knowing what is happening in that person's life. You're judging from appearances, which that imagination is working overtime, telling you something about this person, because you have not spoken to them. You may not know them, or you may know them. But to make a judgment or criticism about their lives, and as for cause and effect, you have set something out. You've sent out a judgment. The effect will come back to you. It may be a distasteful experience, or it could be something mild. But the idea is to recognize what's happening and not judge, not criticize, as you say. There is something going on there that could enhance our lives in another aspect or depreciate our lives in another aspect. We have to be cautious of that as well, the judging, the criticizing. And, you know, be mindful of that, because our imagination will create a story immediately.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's interesting that you would say that it's a reflection. It reflects back to us what we say and think about other people. I was in a class one day, a workshop, and one of the exercises that the facilitator had given us to do was, you know, make a list of attributes of a person who you have you dislike or you have some kind of disagreement with, and write down 10 characteristics about that person that you don't like. So everybody did that, you know, you got on your high horse, well, I don't like this, I don't like the way she lives, I don't like this, I don't like the attitude or whatever. And at the end of the exercise, she said, well, why do you think you don't like those attributes about that person? Because you're mirroring something inside of yourself that
right.
you see in that other person.
Exactly.
And that really gave me something to think about, and it really made me be careful about what I thought about other people. You know, and that's like that Michael Jackson song, The Man in the Mirror.
Indeed.
You know, it's so easy for us to judge other people, but why? You know, we see ourselves, something about ourselves in that other person that we don't like.
Indeed. Indeed, and that in itself is fascinating. That's just profound that we have done this unconsciously without
yes.
even blinking an eye.
And then, you know what, when I went through my list, I'm like, that does sound like Jesus. I really look at myself, you know, once she said that, I had to really, it really made me reflect on me and my character defects.
Indeed, indeed, here we are.
Yeah, I can see that. Gotta be honest here, y'all, just keeping it real.
Indeed, so the truth will make us free. Well, I intend the highest good for myself, you, and all the listeners and everyone concerned, and that I intend that I will immediately monitor my thought patterns, my critical scale that has its little tentacles out in the world that wants to critique anyone as well as yourself. You have to pay attention to that as well.
Yes.
You know, you're critiquing yourself is also as damaging as critiquing someone else.
Well, we might as well be critiquing ourselves, because that person has a spirit of God inside of them as well.
That's true.
So when we talk about or denigrate or relegate that person to any less position in life than we are, we're relegating the spirit of God inside of them. And so subsequently, I can see how that, you know, how that works then, because it's all one spirit.
Indeed.
We all share the same spirit of God. However, we recognize that it's all the same spirit of God.
That's correct. That's correct.
And so we're putting down the spirit of God in that person, we're putting down the spirit of God in us.
That's correct. That's correct. So we really do need to be mindful.
Absolutely. And we have about 9 minutes left to the show, 8 minutes now left to the show. I'd like to give out the number one more time in case you want to join in this discussion and add your 2 cents. We'd love to hear it. The number to call in is 646-716-5180. Again, the number is 646-716-5180. And you can always reach me by email if you'd like to leave a comment, or you have any comment that you'd like to make about the show. You can email me at alwaysinthespirit@gmail.com. And I also would like to take a moment to remind you of an upcoming segment on October 3rd. My special guest will be Simon Bailey, the author of Release Your Brilliance. He is brilliant. He has brilliantly cracked the code for personal transformation and turned his life around to become a highly successful entrepreneur and a respected community leader. His metaphor, and I love this, Sandra, is that we are all diamonds in the rough.
I love it. That's correct.
And he uses 4 key steps to cut and polish the gem that is in you in order to reawaken the genius, in order to reignite your internal light and release your potential. He guides your transformation with interactive tools such as personal appraisal exercises. And I have to stop there to say, these exercises, the tools that he has put in this book, the content of the book is just phenomenal, but the tools really get you to reflect on where you are, where you want to be, and what you are doing with your life. So I admonish all of you guys to go out and get this book, Release Your Brilliance, and be ready when Simon Bailey joins us on the show on Saturday, October 3rd. And you can, it's a link on this site that you can click on to get your book through Amazon.com. And ultimately, we do get what we think. What we think is what we see for ourselves. And as you think in your heart, so you are. So whatever you've got now, whether it's good or bad, is the sum total of all of your compounded thoughts up to this point.
Indeed so, indeed. And I believe that once you have control of that imagination, you will begin to see how you've created your creations when they come back to you. And I think that everyone should practice. You should get in the mood of setting time aside to practice, because it takes some time. And if you want to transform your mind, start today. Start
absolutely
with the smallest, the infinitesimal minute that you have, whatever you have, start today. Retraining your mind to think properly so that we can produce the highest good for ourselves. And just take a moment and listen to your thoughts, because when you take time to listen to your thoughts, you can't imagine all the things that are going through your mind. There are even thoughts going through your mind so fast you never even hear them. You never even know that you've thought that. It's gone in 60 seconds. So take time and monitor those thoughts. That way, when you get ready to slow down your mind, you can recognize these thoughts coming in and stop them. Change them.
Absolutely. And I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge Queen Goddess. I'm going to spell her last name. I'm not going to try to sound it out. It's Queen Goddess, Y-O-K-E-S, has joined us in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us on In the Spirit today. We certainly appreciate your presence here today. If you'd like to type in a question or add your comment to this discussion, I certainly would appreciate hearing from you. Or if you'd like, you can give us a call at 646-716-5180. Thank you again for joining us in the chat room today. And so we have about 4 minutes left on the show. Time is going by so fast, huh?
It's like playing.
We're not having too much fun here. That's right, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with a little playing in life. Sometimes we tend to take life a little too seriously, and we definitely need some more adult play in the fun sense, in the respectful sense. You know, that life is too short to sweat the small stuff. And I personally want to experience and enjoy as much of life as possible and have fun doing it, girl.
Yes, indeed. Life is about living, having fun, enjoying, and not just day-to-day dredging and the work and no pleasures of life. You know, take some time to enjoy your beautiful mind. Because your beautiful mind is going to produce your beautiful world.
Yes, indeed. And I'm going to close this segment with an excerpt from Simon Bailey's book. And I loved it. This is one of the things that really stood out for me when I was reading his book. And I'm going to go back and really make a lot of notes in it to prepare for the upcoming show with him. But he has a segment in there where he talks about clarity. And he says that clarity is a measure of a diamond's purity. It represents your thoughts, your profound insight into who you are, why you do what you do. A diamond's magical color represents your beliefs about yourself and the world around you. The diamond cut symbolizes action, which is your brilliance, and it will remain locked in the vault unless you take specific action steps. And he goes on further to say that you must focus on your life and use profound insight to evaluate where you are in life and what your motives are. Profound insight is about gaining a fresh perspective by suspending old thinking patterns and seeing the new in the old. And this really stood out to me because this is like me, Speedy Gonzalez, through life. And my son used to always tell me, Ma, you got rushitis. You need to slow down. And here in Simon's book, he says, until you slow down to the speed of thought and reflect on what you think the way you do, you're just skimming the surface and you'll never gain complete clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the book has really, really been an eye-opener for me. And really what's most profound for me is that it just makes me really reflect and think about my life and evaluate my life in ways that I probably wouldn't have otherwise.
That is correct. That is phenomenal. Well, I look forward to having a discussion with him. It sounds as if it would be such an enlightened day that all callers should be on to hear such profundities, and I am going to make sure that I have some people that I have recently met get on the call so that they can enjoy it as much as I will. I know that I will.
Absolutely, and do get the book. You can get the book at Amazon.com. The book, again, is called Release Your Brilliance. Thank you for joining me again today on the show. I love you, I love you, I love you, and I appreciate you. We have about 58 seconds left. I'll let you have the last words to the segment, Sandra.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and thank you, thank you, thank you. My love is sent back to you. It has been a pleasure and a joy to do this show and all of the shows past, and I look forward to doing many, many more with you. And I'd like to share with the audience that we must all be kings and queens, and let's be great rulers of our kingdoms. Let's have a kingdom with love and joy and prosperity and understanding, wisdom, and love. And let's spread that to everyone. Let's start with our imagining and imagine the best for everyone and the highest good. Thank you.
Absolutely. And we're going to end with this by the Dramatics. This is your host, Shirley. Thank you so much for joining us on In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed and prosperous day.
Indeed.